You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Bible to Acts chapter 10, and we will complete Acts chapter 10 today. We will look at verse 34 through 48. I've divided our section into two parts, the witness and the wonder. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. All you have to do is put your hand in the air and wave like you care. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, please take it with you. It's yours to keep if you need a Bible at home. Now, to get us up to speed, what has happened is God sent a messenger to a man named Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. He was a good man. He was a man of good reputation. He gave to the poor. He prayed. He probably fasted. He feared God. He had a reverential fear of God. A man who encouraged his household. He encouraged all those in his household to fear God. However, with all of that, he wasn't saved. What that reminds me of is the fact that we can have all kinds of religious activity and still not have met the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So a message came to Cornelius, and when it did, Cornelius' response was, "What do you want, Lord? What can I do?" He was ready to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do, even through a messenger. And he's told to go and send some men over to find a man named Peter who's staying at Simon the Tanner's house. And it would be by the sea, and it's in Joppa. And so he does. He sends some men. Meanwhile, Peter is hungry. He's got big hungies. And he goes up on the rooftop. And he prays. And during this prayer time, he has this euphoric experience where something like a sheet is dropped and down to the earth from heaven. And on it are all kinds of unclean animals, unkosher animals, including like pork, which a Jew would never eat. And the Lord says, "Hey, you know, kill and eat." And Peter says, "No, I'm not going to kill and eat. Not so, Lord. I've never had pig in a blanket." And so he doesn't partake. And so while he's having this experience, and by the way, the Lord tells him, and over again, he doesn't. So this sheet-like thing with all these animals on it goes back up into the air. And while that happens, just at a perfect timing, the men from Cornelius come, and they're there. Now, it's interesting how everything seems to be just at perfect timing. Listen, everything that's happening into in your life is ordained and orchestrated by God. They're all tests, all the difficulty. God has a plan. But one of the things that I mentioned last week was, why didn't God use the angel to tell Cornelius all that Peter was going to say? And here's why. Because only Peter had experienced the forgiveness that comes from God. Angels don't have a savior. Angels had their opportunity. A limited number of angels were all created at the same time. They saw God face to face, and they decided those who would follow God and those that would follow Satan. And those have become demons. We'll talk about them on Wednesday. But here, God uses Peter. Why? Peter understands what it means to be forgiven. And so there it was. God tells him, "Hey, the men are there. They're from Cornelius. You're going to go with them." It's interesting because he tells Cornelius, "Hey, whatever Peter tells you to do, you follow." And he tells Peter, "Whatever these men want to go, you go with them." And so the servants of Cornelius tell Peter, they say, "Hey, listen, here's what happened. An angel came, spoke to Cornelius. Cornelius was told to go get you." And then they tell him this. They say, "And you're to come back and speak to us, because the messenger said that you would have a message for us." So he should know. He gets to Cornelius, and the first thing that Peter does is say, hey, why did you send for me? The servants just told him so that you can bring a message. But Peter is kind of, he's kind of not there. You know, I can relate. But Peter isn't a first timer. What I mean by that is Peter has to hear it over and over again before he finally gets it. And I get that. I can relate. So Cornelius then reiterates with a little more detail exactly what happened and how it happened, and that he was sending for Peter to come and speak. And now Cornelius has just said, you know what? Okay, so open your pie hole and let it all come out. Let's look at the witness in verse 34 through 42. And Peter opened his pie hole, opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Now, real quick, just do me a favor, although we're starting at verse 34, back up real quick and look at verse 33. This is exactly what Cornelius has just said, because this is awesome. So I sent to you immediately. So I was told to send for you, and I did. And you have done well to come. He says, hey, good job, Peter. I'm glad you listened for once. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. Listen, Cornelius went and got all his friends and relatives. He packed the house, waiting for Peter, this man he does not know. He just knows that he's supposed to come and hear a message. Folks, let me tell you this. If you're here today, how many of you here today? Right. If you're here today, it's because God has a message for you. He has a message. He wants to speak through me, and I pray that I will speak it to you today. And I pray, more importantly, that you will hear and respond. So how awesome. He walks in the house. They're waiting with bated breath. Now, here's what's important, folks. History is kind of at a pause right now. It's like history is inhaling. For the next few minutes, history will be established for us. And you say, what am I talking about? Listen, the good news of the gospel will spread to the Gentile world from here. And by the way, you say, maybe you're new here, maybe you're not, you're a new believer, or maybe you're not even a believer, and you're going, what's a Gentile? What is it? Okay, a Jew is anyone Israeli, and a Gentile is anyone who's not Israeli. So whether you're Chinese, African, Mexican, whatever you are, American, English, Russian, you're a Gentile. Only Jews. There's Jews and Gentiles. Now here, what happens is the gospel, after this moment, is then going to go and spread to all of us. So thank you, Lord, that he sent a message from Cornelius to Peter to bring him. That he did that when he dropped that sheet, he was talking about us. That we are unclean in the Jewish eye. We are unclean, and we'll look at that here in a moment. But this time, Peter's going to open his mouth. And by the way, Peter was good at opening his mouth. But usually he opened his mouth to stick his foot in. But this time, instead of sticking his foot in, truth is going to come out. Instead of saying, no, Lord, Peter is now saying, yes, Lord. This should be said of us. It should be said of us that when God puts a call on our life or a request upon our life, that we would say, yes, Lord. The problem is too many people in the church, including myself at times, God wants me to do something or you to do something that we're not comfortable with, and we, just like Peter, will say, no, Lord. I don't have time. I'm not comfortable with that. That is so not me, Lord. But God isn't interested in what is you. You're to be a new you, a changed you, a different you. And the more uncomfortable something is that God asks us to do, the more glory we will bring him. Listen, we should be obedient. One step in obedience is worth more than a lifetime of studying obedience. You can study it or you can be it. Listen, don't just study prayer, pray. Don't just study forgiveness, forgive. And don't just read your Bible, live it. It's so different. So many people can read their Bible and never obey the Lord. That was the scribes and the Pharisees, by the way. They read their Bible, but they did not obey the things in the Bible. So Peter opens his mouth and truth came out. We should only be speaking the truth. You realize that? We should have regular checkups because we need to avoid truth decay. We need regular checkups. How do we get a checkup on our truth? Is by staying in the Word and living it. We need to be living the truth, not just speaking it. And so he says this, he opens his mouth and he says, I perceive that God shows no partiality. This, we go, okay, God doesn't show any partiality. We swallow that concept hook, line, and sinker. Why? Well, because America's a melting pot, right? There's so many nationalities. Even within this room, there's so many nationalities, let alone in America. But for the Jew and for the Gentile, this was a stumbling point. This perception that Peter has, he says, I perceive that God, this was enlightened to him by the blanket-like thing that had the pork in it. That kind of enlightened him that God wasn't talking about food. He was talking about people. Huh. But it's completely this concept. The reason why Peter said no, Lord, because this concept was completely opposite voice of what the Jews were saying. They thought that God only loved Jews, but that God hated the Gentiles. So this concept of, you know what, embrace the Gentiles, take the gospel to them, let them be saved as well, let them be adopted into the family of God, was foreign to a Jew. This was revolutionary. This will be highly controversial, and it will be greatly contested, but yet it's the pure truth of God's love. In fact, that is why the first century church is so persecuted. Because this was offensive. Listen, William Barclay, here's what he says. Listen to this. He says, it was common for a Jewish man to begin each day with a prayer, thanking God that he was not a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. Wow. Each Jewish man would pray that. Thank you, Lord, I'm not a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. Yeah. He goes on, he says, the Jew even had an oath promising no one would ever help a Gentile under any circumstance, even as simple as giving directions if they were to ask. It even went as far as refusing to help a Gentile woman when she was giving birth, because that would be helping to bring another Gentile into the world. Basically, a Jew looked at a newborn baby as another pig in a blanket. Sad. Now, this wasn't one-sided. Why? Well, because the Gentiles looked and despised the Jews because of this. They thought they were weird traditionalists. They believed they were evil plotters. And there you go. Gentiles believed that Jews actually worshipped pigs because they wouldn't eat them. Kind of like the way we look at the Indians from India, how they won't eat a Big Mac because they worship cows. So they thought that they refused to eat pork. Well, they must be worshiping pigs. Wow. So realize this. Hang this on your belt. Maybe you're not a believer today. Maybe you're a woman here who's not a believer. Understand that the first religion to disregard racial, cultural, national limitations is Christianity. It gave women equal rights. It gave all nationalities that we can all be adopted by God and that we're all the same. Thank you, Lord, for Christianity. So important. But he says this, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Listen, if the God you love and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is God, is in you, then you and I should not have partiality either. Now, I'm not just talking about racial. I'm talking about, listen, if don't show favoritism because someone has a lot of money. That's partiality. Or you know what some people do? They show favoritism to someone who doesn't have money because it makes them feel good to help the less fortunate. No, no. Love all men equally. Listen, there are some rich people who need a lot of help, and there are some poor people who need a lot of help, and there are some in-between people who need... We are needy people. But that's the good news. What good news? That Jesus Christ came to meet our needs. For God will supply all my need, singular, according to His riches and glory, which are found in Christ Jesus. So we have one need? Yeah, what is that need? To have our sins forgiven so we don't go to hell. And we'll look at that here in a moment. Verse 35. But in every nation, whoever fears Him, and that's a reverential fear, but I want you to know this. Not only should we have a reverential fear, we should fear God. Why? Well, He's powerful. Think about this. If an angel comes on the scene and big, strong men drop to their knees or down to their face because they fear this angel, how much more is God beyond that He created them? Listen, He's our judge. And when we do wrong in the sight of God, we should fear Him. But here, I believe it's talking of a reverential fear as well. What do I mean by that? Listen, if you respect God, you reverence Him, then you're going to not want to do bad things because it displeases Him. But if that's not enough for you, then you better fear Him because He is God. And He is powerful. And He is judge. So He goes on, He says, but in every nation, whoever fears Him, works righteousness is accepted by Him. Now, real quick, righteousness. That's a word we throw around. Hey, righteousness, I'm righteous. No, you're more righteous than me. No. What does it mean, righteousness? It to be right, but let me give you a phrase that you can hang on your belt, hang on your heart. Righteousness means this, right living. That's what it means, right living. And you say, okay, that can be dangerous though. Why? Because back in the Old Testament, especially in Judges, it said, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. So they thought, well, I'm living right. In fact, on Wednesday, we're going to look at how the world today in America, what they call right is evil, and what they call evil is right. Just like the Bible said it would be in the last days, and we'll look at it in detail. But living right means this. Living the way God said is right. Being righteous means you say, yes, Lord, even when you don't feel comfortable with what God is asking you to do. Even when what He's asking you to do is incredibly difficult. In fact, the more incredibly difficult something that God asks you to do, the more the reward, the greater the reward and the greater the glory you will experience between you and God. So important. And he goes on, verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel. The word. Remember in John, the Gospel of John, it begins in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So here he says, the Word, which I think has a double connotation. One, the Word, meaning the Israelites got the law through Moses. So it came to them first. But he also, Jesus, when Jesus came, he came to the Jews first. The Word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Now, when it says He is Lord of all, by the way, it also has double connotation. What do I mean? Well, he's saying He is Lord of all, meaning He is both Lord of Jews and Gentiles. He's Lord of all. But also know this, the word Lord in the Greek is kurios, and all in the Greek of all is pas, is kurios pas. And you go, great, Pastor Randy, thank you. Listen, kurios pas means this, supreme authority over everything, period. Everything. the only title, this title is only given to God the Messiah. No one else gets this Kyrios Pas. Only Jesus. Why? Because he is the Word made flesh. He is God incarnate. And why is that important? Here's why it's important, folks. Listen to me. Some people claim that Jesus Christ was a good man. Some people claim he was a prophet. Problem. If he's just a prophet, he's still just a man. If he's a good man, maybe a good man can die for another man or another woman and live a good enough life to pay for your sins. Maybe. But in order for one individual to pay for the sins of all humanity in history, it would have to be the God who created them in order for it to be enough to cover all of those sins. So listen, he is Kyrios Pas, Lord of all, and that Lord of all took all of your sins and paid for them. And why is that important? Well, we're going to look at that in a moment. Hang that on your belt. But it's good news. It's good news that God was willing to come down in the flesh and take on our sins. Verse 37. That word which you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea. Listen, you guys, you heard about this. You heard about Jesus. You heard all that he did. Listen, there was no way. There was no way that all that Jesus did was kept quiet. All the demons he casted out, all the people he healed, all the miraculous things he did. Trust me, he was the talk of the known world at that time. So he said, you know the word. And they most definitely had heard echoes of Christ's teachings. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee. Look, when did it begin? Began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Huh. You heard it? You heard the impact? But here's the thing. Even though they had heard about all that Jesus had done, they needed to hear it again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. They needed to hear the truth of the good news. They needed a testimony, a firsthand experience of forgiveness. And Peter was greatly forgiven. So they needed to hear someone that was filled with God's Spirit. At this time, Peter's saved. At this time, Peter is filled with God's Spirit. He's not real bright, but he still has God's Spirit in him. Listen. What about you? The gospel, the good news, that's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. That's that word. When someone says, what's gospel? It means good news. The gospel isn't something you go to church to hear, but it's something you go from church to tell. You come in here, you hear the gospel, it's now imparted to you to go out and tell others, unless you don't really have God's Spirit in you. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, His sole purpose, His whole purpose, His whole desire is to proclaim Jesus Christ to all so that they would hear. And as you and I are filled with Christ's Spirit, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what your desire is going to be, is to proclaim. So the gospel isn't something to go to church to hear. It's something to go from church to tell. Now notice he says this. Catch this. That it began from Galilee when? After the baptism which John preached. The Lord Jesus Christ's ministry didn't start until after he was baptized. He was about 30 years old, and then his ministry only lasted 3 years, but look at the impact it had in that 3 years. The whole world is turned upside down in those 3 years. But here's my point. What's your point, Pastor? Well, I have a point. Other than my head. So many Christians, so many people in the church get baptized and miss this concept. What concept? Well, let me ask you this. What happened in your life after you were baptized? Well, I hope you say, well, gosh, after I got baptized, man, I just came alive for Christ. I just identified with him, and my whole life became about Jesus. Well, too often people get baptized and they ain't much different after the water than they were before the water. Matthew, look, listen to this. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says this. If you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You and I, when you get, if how many of you were baptized? Raise your hand. You baptized? Okay, two of you. Great. Okay. Listen, when you are baptized, you're saying this. I was dead, now I'm buried, and I'm identified with Christ, and I'm raised up a new what? A new creature to do what? To live as Christ would live. Do you realize that is why God came down and wrapped himself in flesh? So that you and I would have an example to follow. That we are to strive to be like Christ. Okay, what happened to Christ? He got baptized, and then he started his ministry. He started serving. Is that what happened to you when you got baptized? Because maybe, just maybe, you missed the point of baptism. It does not save you. And it's not just something to do to get splashed around and take pictures of. It's supposed to be the start of your new life. A life where you become conformed into the image of Christ. Where you begin to do the things he did. Listen. It's good to be a Christian and know it, but it's better to be a Christian and show it. Show what God has done in your life. Show how you are following Christ. Be an example to others so that you and I can say, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. You go, wait a minute. How could God be with him? Listen, you got to understand that the triune God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one, but they are separate individuals. And Jesus Christ had to be a man that, in order to live an example for you and I. But he was filled with God's Spirit on a level you and I could not even imagine because he was also God. But he was being a living example for us that we should be filled with the Spirit as well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the flesh, in the flesh, lived out in examples for us to seek and follow. And at the baptism, God filled him with the Spirit, and that was the beginning of his ministry. Verse 39. And we, here Peter is speaking of himself and the other apostles, are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. And you're like, whoa, 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 hang on a tree, I thought he hung on a cross. Listen, this is a figure of speech. In the Old Testament, it said the Messiah would be shamed by hanging on a tree. It said that anyone who hung on a tree, that was shamed. And listen, Jesus Christ was shamed on the tree. He was hung naked and spat upon and mocked. He took your sins and my sins. He took our shame. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. So he was hung on a tree. And by the way, a cross is made out of what? Wood, which comes from what? A tree. So don't get all freaked out here. Verse 40. Him God raised on the third day and showed him openly. Now, he's saying this. Yeah, we killed him. He died for us, but he didn't stay dead. And God allowed him to come back and walk around and hang out with us. Not all people, so he showed him openly, not all people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He ate and drank with him? Yeah, listen, he wasn't a spook or a specter. He wasn't a mist. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't like, you know, Casper where he tries to eat and it falls, you know, or drink and the water just hits it. No, no. He had a holy, glorified body. And he ate. You know what that means? When you and I go to heaven, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and not get fat. That's what I call angel food. Down here, it's all devil food. Look what the devil did to me. But here, Paul tells us in Corinthians that over 500 people saw him at one time. And then he says, and all these witnesses, many of these witnesses are still alive when he wrote 1 Corinthians. He says, 500 people. Not only that, they're willing to die for the truth that they sat and ate and spoke and touched and hugged and cried on Jesus' shoulder and that he was there. It changed their life. It set them on fire. And so he says, listen, there were over 500 witnesses in one event. I mean, there were many other. He walked around for 40 days. Many people saw him, but 500 at one time, and they're still around. And many of these went around speaking the good news. Unfortunately, they spoke the good news with bad results. They were hated, they were despised, and they were persecuted. But that didn't stop them. Why? Because they knew there was life after this life, and it would be way better. Many times, brothers and sisters, listen. Many times, we care more about people's feelings than we do their souls. Listen, their hurt feelings because you're telling them they need a Savior, they got mad at you, that lasts for a moment. But their souls could be tormented in hell forever if you don't tell them. Why are we more concerned about their feelings than their soul? We have, in this church, we have 7 people who are going to a mission trip to Belize. And I want to ask you to be praying for them. But they're stepping out of their comfort zone and they're going to go to Belize. And we'll have a poster up with their pictures and ask you to be praying and praying about support in some way. But they're going out in the mission field. They're going all the way to Belize. But can I tell you, your mission field is every unsaved person that you meet, especially those you claim that you love. How can you claim you love them if you're going to let them go to hell? I mean, when I don't talk to someone about Jesus, basically what I'm saying to them is, you can go to hell. You can go to hell. I'll see if you want to go to heaven. Would you do that? Are you doing that? It's a simple message, yet we neglect to share it. It's a simple message. Jesus was God in the flesh, lived an example for us. He lived a sinless life, and then he took our sins, and it would have to be God, because only God could pay for all the sins of humanity, and all you and I have to do is accept it, receive it, believe it. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to memorize your Bible or pray so many times. All you got to do, now here's the cool part. When you do truly accept what Jesus Christ, you'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to be baptized. You'll want to pray. It develops in you. Bill Fay, he actually wrote the Sharing Jesus Without Fear study, technique, whatever. He had a dream. And his dream is pretty profound. He said, here's what happened in his dream. He said he had a dream that he was drowning in the sea. And he was about to die. And all of a sudden, a hand reached out and pulled him up and set him on a rock. It was a safe rock. And it was a large rock. And while he was standing on the rock safe, he realized that there were others crying, so he began to reach down and pull others up onto the rock. And pretty soon he was pulling them up and pulling, and those were helping him pull. But pretty soon they had a pretty good sized group and they began to pray. And when they began to pray, they started a church. And so they had their rock church. And then they had their rock studies and their rock fellowship and their rock potluck. Then they had their rock concerts. But the problem was, while they were rocking out, people were drowning. They had forgot that there were others drowning. And they stopped pulling people up. Listen, how many of us are content with being on the rock while we allow people we claim we love to drown? Because we're too busy rocking out. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ and to know that you have salvation and eternal life. But it's far better to realize that the reason why we are called, the reason why God hasn't taken you home, is because He wants you to pull others up upon the rock. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Chronicles 16:24 says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among the nations." You and I, that's what we should be doing. We should be sharing the good news of God. Verse 42. "And He commanded us to preach to the people." Ta-da! That command is extended to us as well. "And to testify that it is He who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." Some of your translations say the quick and the dead. He is a judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. He has the power to condemn you. Listen, that's good news and bad news. It's good news if you're saved, because now there's no condemnation. It is bad news if you're not saved. Why? Because every sin you've ever committed, every lie, every angry thing, every profanity, every unpure thought, every unpure deed, you are storing up wrath for yourself when Christ will judge you. "To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sin." He is the judge. He is. It's a scary truth. We who believe have been forgiven. Someone might be out there thinking, "Yeah, but Pastor Randy, I don't believe there's a God." Well, it doesn't matter. He ain't going to go away. He's not going to go away because you don't believe. Here you go. Try this, okay? You who don't believe. When you leave here, get in your car, get on 95, and speed your heart out. And when the cop pulls you over, because he has to, his authority dictates that he pull you over because you're breaking the law, if he's a good cop. And when he walks up to your window, say, "I don't believe you exist." And he's going to say, "That's fine. Here's a ticket that doesn't exist with a court date that doesn't exist, and you'll go before a judge who doesn't exist. And if you don't show up, we'll put you in a jail that doesn't exist so you can spoon with Bubba who doesn't exist." And you can pretend all you want. But truth is truth, and authority is authority. So it's bad news if you don't believe. It's good news if you do believe. Now notice it says this, "Through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sin." First of all, when it says "through His name," that means His nature. Through His love and who He is and righteousness that is of Him. It is His nature to want, get this, it is God's nature to want to forgive you because God's nature already loves you. Wow. "Well, Pastor Randy, you don't know what sins I've committed." I don't know what sins you've committed. I know I'm the worst sinner I know. But maybe you've committed sins worse than mine. Guess what? Christ is still bigger than that. I don't care what sins you've committed. Cast them upon Him. He will take them. He will forgive you of your sins. And He'll give you a new life. And you will be blown away. He says this, "Receive remission of sin." Don't get hung up on that. Remission means forgiveness. Just forgiveness. And here's the thing. God doesn't forgive the way you and I do. You know, I can forgive someone, but in the back of my mind, I see them and go, "Oh, they did that to me." God says, "As far as the east is from the west." Notice He doesn't say north and south. Why? I can go north and then end up going south. No, east and west, you can go east forever. You can go west forever. I did that backwards, but that's okay. You can go forever and never start going east. But north, I can. So He says, as far as what He's saying is, God chooses not to remember any of the disgusting things you and I have done. Isn't that awesome? That's that remission of sin. He can forgive you. I don't care how big a sinner you are. In fact, know this. The bigger the sins you've committed, the greater the glory your life can bring when others say, "That guy is a horrible sinner, but look at how he's changed." You think there's hope for me if he can be forgiven and changed that I can too? Yeah. Yuppers. Let him forgive you. Let him use your life to bring him glory. You will not regret it. That's the good news. And you don't have to do anything other than to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the wonder, and we're going to go wonderfully fast through these four verses. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, so Peter is in mid-sentence. And by the way, Peter has a habit of going on and on. Peter loves to talk. How do I know this? Do you realize that Peter is the only person to be interrupted by the Father, by the Son, and here by the Holy Spirit? He's the only person recorded that gets interrupted. With the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus peels back his humanity, shows his glory, and Peter says, you know, Jesus, it's a good thing we're here with you. Yeah. Aren't you glad we're here? And God says, you know what? Shut up, dude. Listen to my Son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus has to tell Peter, hey, get behind me, Satan. Because he tells him, you're not going to go to the cross on my watch. You know what? Just shut up. Get behind me. And then another time they asked Peter, they said, hey, does Jesus pay his taxes? He goes, yeah. And Jesus says, you know what? Shut up, Peter. And then Jesus deals with him. And then here, the Holy Spirit interrupts him. The Holy Spirit knows that Peter's message isn't going to get any better than the last two sentences. Look what they say. Let's look at the last two. Last thing Peter says, and the Holy Spirit interrupts him. This is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Jesus Christ is a judge. But to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him, whoever would be judged, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin, can be pardoned. Bingo! Guess what that is? Good news. Listen, this week, it was a stellar week. God was just moving in my life in several areas. It was just fantastic. But one particular, there was a family, they asked me to come to their home and speak to their dad. His name is Bill. 100-year-old vet. He's literally 100-year-old, working on 101. He was in the military. He went through World War II. He was a hero. He got saved by a canteen. A bullet punctured his canteen, but the canteen saved his life. He had the heel of his boot shot off. But this man single-handedly went into a cave and stopped a German military gun emplacement by himself and saved many, many soldiers' lives. But they asked him, because he's up in age, he's pretty, you know, 100's pretty old, right? They asked him, they said, Bill, if you die, you know you'd go to heaven. He says, no, I don't know that. And they had talked to him and they tried to get him. So I went over there and I told him the good news. I told him the gospel. What I told him is Jesus Christ died for your sin. It's free. Just what I'm telling you today. And he looked at me. All of a sudden, the lights went on. And he looked at me with wonderment. And he said, man, that's some good news. The family cheered. They clapped their hands. They were crying. I almost was crying. And he got it. And he prayed the sinner's prayer. And he said that I made his day. And he loved the visit. And then before I left, I said, so Bill, when you die, where are you going? He goes, well, I'm going to heaven. Is that awesome? So here, the Holy Spirit interrupts because all the hearts, just like Bill, are open. They're like, this is good news. Because it says this, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Now, this hearing the word, I don't think it was just like they were in the room. They go, I heard what he said. No, these were those whose hearts are open. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, if you hear nothing else I say today, if you are here and you're truly hearing from God, the Holy Spirit will fill your life. He wants to fill your life. He wants to empower you and equip you. He wants to use you for his glory. That's the purpose. We were made for his good pleasure. But then there are some of you who are only hearing it, but not hearing it. These were hearing. They were meant. It means that they were hearing. They were willing to submit. And so the Holy Spirit said he didn't have to say anymore. The Holy Spirit just descended upon them, and they were getting saved, including Cornelius, verse 45. And those of the circumcision, so those Jews that came with Peter from Joppa, remember I told you they were like, this is better than a soap opera. We want to see how this plays out. And they followed him down there. Those of the circumcision, those Jews who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Listen, same message the Jews got in Acts chapter 2. Same spirit, same power, same salvation was poured out on the Jews in Acts 2. Is now being revealed in the Gentiles. And the Jews are going, holy moly, God isn't a respecter of persons. We were wrong all along about the Gentiles. God loves them too. Oy vey. Peter was sensing that God was no respecter because of the pigs in the blanket, basically. And now it's confirmed. No ritual, no circumcision, no Jewish rabbi. In fact, you just have a fisherman speaking the truth of the good news, just open hearts who are willing to trust and believe. Where are you today? Where are you? Are you willing to believe the message that I'm bringing to you? Do you realize that God has brought you today? If you've never been here before, that's why. If you've been here many times, he wants you to hear this message. It's for you. Side note, real quick, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it says this. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. Listen, when they're speaking in tongues, there's no rebuke. It's not like, oh, God is speaking, saying you need to repent. None of that. There's no correction. There's someone committing adultery here. And that's not the tongue that's being spoken. No prophecy. We foresee the future. None of that. No person-to-person communication. Tongue, if someone speaks in a real tongue, it's all going to be about bringing God glory. Speaking of his mighty works. You hear someone speak in tongue and their interpretation is anything other than praising God, that is not a tongue. That is a lie and that is flesh. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Notice when baptism comes. Baptism comes after salvation, after the infilling of the Spirit. Baptism does not save you. What baptism is a moment you're going to proclaim before people that you've been saved, and now your life from that moment is going to begin to look more and more like Jesus. But it breaks my heart when people are baptized and they just look the same as they did before, and there's no change, and they don't move forward. You can't blame it on the water. You can't blame it on the pastor who's dunking you. That's between you and the Lord. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. I love that. You know what they're doing? They got the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They got baptized. And they just like, Peter, man, just stay. Tell us more about what we need to know. You need to hang with us. They're just hungry for truth. Peter, they probably asked Peter, so what was Jesus like? What did he say? What did he do? Did he laugh? What kind of jokes did he like? How bad did it hurt when you saw him being crucified? You really denied him 3 times and he hurt you? And yet he forgives you? Wow, there's hope for me too, isn't there? Are you saved? Well, Pastor Rennie, yeah, I'm saved. I've been baptized. Stop it. Baptism doesn't save you. Are you saved? Well, I go to church. I've been coming to a Harvest Bible Church for 7 years. Stop it. Are you saved? Well, I read my Bible. I believe in Jesus. I didn't ask you that. Listen, you can believe Jesus is Lord and still say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. What kind of belief is that? Listen, if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're going to obey Him. You're going to begin to change. Your life is going to be about proclaiming Him. So let me ask you, not are you going to church, not do you read your Bible, not do you pray, not do you give tithe, not that you do anything, are you saved? None of those things save you. You must have a surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ. Realize that you put all your faith in what He did on the cross and only that. That is the only way to heaven. And if you truly have that belief, the Holy Spirit will fill you and you'll know that you have the Holy Spirit because you will become a witness of Jesus Christ everywhere you go and you can't help it. You can't stop it. It is who you are. Now, maybe you're not that. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've never surrendered your heart to Christ. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to give you time to do that. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And I'm also going to ask that nobody leave right now. No one move. Because this is a moment that the person next to you may be being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. And you can become a distraction. This is about Jesus Christ right now. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and that you would come forward. To make a stand, to make a confession and a profession of faith in Christ once and for all. Or don't. But that is scary. Because without that, all your sins, you're accumulating them. You're storing them up for wrath. Let's all stand. The worship team is going to sing a song, and I'm going to give you an opportunity that if you would like to come forward and be prayed over, if you want to make a stand, if you want to be bold for Christ, today's the day. Don't leave. If you're unsure, if you're feeling, is that me? He's calling your name. He's calling you by name. So as they sing, don't worry about the person who right or left, in front or back. You just worry about you and Jesus, you and the Holy Spirit, you and God the Father, to get that relationship right. Let's sing.